Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Yes, indeed. Rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. How lovely to have your company for the next 3 hours, as it is to have the company of these wonderful human beings who sit beside me, Ryan Girdler, Emma Lawrence, and Wendell Saylor.
Hey, Tone.
Yeah. Hey, Tone.
Very nice to be with you. Can I just run through what's happened so far? Bulldogs 12, Eels 6. I'm just looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard. Rabbitohs last night over the Broncos 22-20 in one of the games of the season, according to Ryan Girdler. We'll get to that in more detail very shortly. The Cowboys over the Panthers, which Ryan Girdler wants to completely ignore, 24 points to 10. Now, they're the games of footy that have happened so far. There's plenty on today, including a game this evening, the Dragons and the Roosters. Now, look, there was word about Wendell Saylor. There was word about that your boy Tristan Saylor may be getting a run, his first in the NRL. What's the story?
Yeah, look, I think last 5 weeks, I think he's been 18th man.
Yep.
And, he's in the 17.
He's so, in the 17?
Yeah, As not my place to say, obviously, before today, but, things have gone his way, and I think, so he's getting his first NRL game tonight, so, yeah.
Are you nervous for him?
Oh, I'm nervous. Yeah, of course I'm nervous. He's worked so hard to get there, his mum's happy, I'm happy, but I'm happy for him because I think, I think I've seen it with Billy Walters, 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's one of those things where, you have to put in a lot of work. I reckon you've got to work twice as hard when, you're a son or a daughter of someone who's sort of made it, yep. That namesake.
Kevy Walters had the joy of handing his son that jersey. It was really emotional when we saw it on the telly. Is that going to happen? Do you get a jersey?
I'll be at the jersey presentation myself, and Tara will be there. So, it'll be funny being inside that dressing room. I'm just thinking, out of all those guys there, the only guy that I sort of played with it just probably retired was Jason Nightingale, so a bit of a changing of the guard. But I'm really happy for him, so he's worked hard and last year of his contract, so it's not a bad time to get an NRL debut.
Would you have any, what's the final words? Will you give him some advice?
To be honest, we don't talk too much footy. I just see how he's going on that, and as Tara told me a couple of years ago, my job really is just to be his dad. He doesn't need me to be a footy expert or, critique his game and stuff. And he plays a different style of football to me, so more talent than I could ever have. So I'm really happy for him. So he's got a good balance, but he's at uni. He's passing at uni, so that's obviously Tara's side. And the sporting side's obviously Tara's side too because, we're pretty proud of him.
Well done, mate.
Yeah, thank you.
That is so good. Very exciting. Can't wait to see that. We don't know where he's playing, obviously, as yet. There was a couple of guys who had some doubts over.
Well, he can play in the halves. He can play fullback. He can play in the centre.
So way more versatile than you were.
100%.
You might have missed the chat before the show where Wendell said, but we can't mention anything on air.
No, that's right.
did you miss that chat?
Did you say can't mention anything at all about this?
No, I didn't say that.
I think you imply that it's a little bit of a secret and it's not meant to come out yet. And Tony, you've just thrown him straight up.
Tony's doing his job as a broadcaster and a journalist.
An investigative journalist, Em. Thank you. Okay. As one journalist to another. Look, it's so hard for us sitting here.
We're just trying to do a job. Yeah. As a journalist and be respected by your colleagues, by players and former players, but
I'll be honest,
you can't please everyone.
Reedy was pretty good. Reedy was in the mail on Thursday and I tried to sort of, I actually ignored Reedy's call on Thursday, so I let that go through to the keeper, but then he spoke to me on air and then had a couple of other text messages and calls, but it's not my place. But well done to Tristan, but also the Dragons. So good luck tonight against the Roosters.
So which of the guys with concussion did you punch in the head during the week?
They didn't need me, mate. That's already been done.
Speaking of being an investigative journalist, Emma Lawrence, I know you're one of the greats in terms of the rugby league journalism, but you sort of spread your wings during this week while I was away. What happened?
I did. I went over to cover the Bledisloe with Channel 10. They have the rights. Well, they had the rights to Bledisloe and the World Cup as well. So went over.
That was successful, wasn't it?
Getting ready. Did some live crosses Thursday night. Getting ready Friday to go to the captain's runs. Just sort of had written some notes, ready for the interviews. I got a call saying you have to head to a town called Raglan because unfortunately there was an Aussie man over there who'd been killed. So I had to go and cover that for 3 days. So I was, And on the murder scene, I was knocking on doors of where he lived and the neighbours. I went to court. I did all of that sort of stuff for the very first time.
What was it like?
It was a bit scary at times. I was a bit scared in Raglan.
Yeah,
so
of course.
I was scared there. And then in court, I was sort of sitting a metre away from the the guy
the
who
accused.
The accused.
Yeah. What did he look like?
The alleged.
He was pretty scary.
Killer.
He was staring at me. He just kept staring at me. Jeez, so that kind of gave me shivers a little
bit.
He
should have just
stuck the finger up.
He was a local guy.
He was a local.
Interesting story. Yeah. What's the backstory behind it? What
happened? Well, I think allegedly, drugs were involved.
Yeah.
So I think he, ice was a problem for him. So he just was trying to rob. This couple, he was trying to steal their camper van in the middle of the night about 2 or 3 a.m. and then ended up, unfortunately, shooting the Aussie man, but the fiancé thankfully
managed to escape.
I saw
you coming. And then he drove 80 k's with the body inside.
He drove.
That must have shaken that little town up because that's a beautiful little surfing village over there in New Zealand.
Yeah, so. They said that they never have... crime of any sort, really. Nothing really happens like that. So
leave the doors unlocked, all that kind of stuff.
It was crazy. So
that's bad because it's happened just recently. Canada. You know that other poor Aussie guy.
Yeah, indeed. All right, so you're going to swap your styles of journalism?
Or what do you think? What do you rather?
Now that you're in there.
Well,
come on.
You know what? I didn't mind it actually, but. One of the reporters joked when I got back to the office, they said, well, sometimes you're still dealing with crime in league when you've got, sex tapes and drugs and all of that sort of stuff.
There's enough bad people in rugby league to satisfy.
Well, someone made that comment. They
alleged.
Alleged, yes. But I think I'll stick to rugby league.
All right, we've got plenty to get to today as we head towards that kickoff. It is 3 o'clock. The Sharks taking on the Warriors. Before then, though, the Rabbitohs and the Broncos. Huge game of footy last night. That's next on Saturday, Triple M NRL. The Gunners, welcome to the jungle. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon. Again, looking at that Taipower scoreboard last night. The Rabbitohs over the Broncos in Brisbane, 22 points to 20. At one stage in the second half, it did look like the Rabbitohs may get away with it, go away with it. But the Broncos came back. Terrific game of football, Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, I mean, it was had all the build-up, didn't it, through the week? Yep. A couple of coaches going at it, a few ex-players. Obviously, players that had moved to the South Sydney side from the Broncos went up there with a point to prove and, got the crowd there, got everyone emotionally involved, including the players. And it was an outstanding performance, I thought, by both clubs, both of them a little bit under strength at the moment. But South Sydney really needing a win to, kickstart the back end of their season, and the Broncos just hanging on to a finals berth. Both sides had a lot to play for and they went out and I thought they delivered in spades. Both clubs were great.
Damien Cook is one of those guys. I mean, there's plenty of talk always about Origin and what it does in the back end of the season for players. He's been outstanding. And how good was he last night?
Yeah, well, I thought him and Murray, Reynolds and Walker were probably the difference in the big moments when they needed, when they needed a result or they needed some experience or they needed, the right thing done at the right time. And I think, the Broncos just fall away in some of those areas at the moment just through injury and inexperience and the like. But it was always going to be, can the South Sydney forward pack match it with, those Broncos, that young forward pack that the Broncos have, and they did. They did it with 12 men for 20 minutes as well. So they'll take a lot of confidence out of that one.
And even when the game was on the line, the desperate defence. So we talk about Damien Cook, how quick he was out of dummy half and setting up two or three tries. But that tackle, I think it was Corey Oates at the end. And that would have been the game winner for them. So that try saver was incredible. And I think even... everyone else. I think Bailey Sirenin came up with a really good try-saving tackle right at the end as well. So such a big game for him. He's only played a handful of first-grade games. And with the Burgess boys out, Liam Knight stepped up as well. So everyone did their job. And they knew how much this game meant for them, but for Wayne Bennett as well going up. Everyone knew the theatre and everything that was going on. So it was a great spectacle on and off the field, I thought.
Yeah, there's real finals intensity. And even Wayne, he's gone back to Suncorp a few times now with the Dragons, Newcastle. So for Wayne, it didn't worry him. Like going back there, he knew, I suppose, what was to expect from his troops. And, obviously I think a couple of the boys had a bit of a soul-searching, talk through the week. And, mate, when the game was on the line, Damien Cook, he is going to another level. We know that Cameron Smith's the best in the game and Hodgson does what he does, but I just love watching Damien Cook evolve as a player because he made 50 tackles last night, still made those couple line breaks, and even the tries that South scored, if you have a look at both teams, I think that Broncos scored tries off individual brilliance. They don't actually work as a team, which when they actually start to work as a team, they're going to be dangerous. So those individual moments like Fifita and Payne Haas and that, but when you see the Bunnies... I think there was a 12-point swing there on the back of Cook, Cody Walker, Adam Reynolds when they made that break and then the kick and then, you know, Cody Walker just get – mate, I don't care what team you follow. Mate, you've got to stand up and you've got to cheer. It's unbelievable to see that. But even at the end, the Broncos, they had opportunities, you know, in that danger zone to score tries. They had like three or four sets there at the end. I think Joe Offengawe stripped the ball off Dane Gagai there, and I'm thinking, yeah, Broncos, come on, like, yeah, come on, let's go. And they were, other than the Corey Oates, there was no real set play. They didn't set up for anything. And they had, you know, Sean O'Sullivan there as well. So they've got to work on that because if they do make the finals, they're not going to go too far, the Broncos, unless they work as a team. I don't think, yeah.
What about South Sydney having said last week about Melbourne being, you know, playing dirty in the ruck and trying to hurt their opponents, and then they come out and get two guys who in tackles decide a little bit of elbow work to the head and face is the right way to go?
I thought that the referees obviously handled that. I thought they handled it really well last night. Cummings and I think Henry Perinara were there, and there was only a lot of emotion in that contest. Yeah. So only 9 penalties all in all, and we're not having a discussion about the referees today, which is a really good sign moving into the finals. And I think they got it right. You know, I think that the fact that they're using 10 minutes now to put guys on notice if they're going to attack the neck and the head is a positive thing. Some of the other things we'll talk about later in the show in relation to Nathan Brown with the match review committee, not so much, but I thought the officials did a fantastic job last night.
But not a coincidence that it was Jaden Sewer and James Roberts up against their former club, Anthony Seibold, had put them both back to reserve grade. Mm. So yeah. I thought it was pretty obvious there was a lot of fire from the two of them. And we've got Roberts, he's facing 2 weeks with an early guilty plea for his elbow. Jaden Sewer got 2 separate charges, one for the high shot, that's just a fine, and then one for his elbow as well. But he'll get off with an early guilty plea. So they'll probably miss James Roberts now for 2 weeks.
You can tell the experience with both teams. Like, so when the Broncos, you know, they had them down to 12 players at 2 times, and those 2 10 minutes, mate, South scored points and wound the clock down. You know, I think they 2 points in both those 10-minute spells. They got to be smarter. They didn't panic, but I think they played smart football, the Broncos, and that's where they let themselves undone a little bit. You know, and if you have a look at the tries that they did score, even like Matt Gillett, he makes that break. It was just one-on-one misses. It wasn't like working for something.
Yep. There's been, as you mentioned, a war of words across this entire season. In fact, from before the season began with the coach swap with Wayne Bennett, Anthony Seibold. Now, Anthony Seibold last night after the game was trying to tell us that he's sick of being in the media for this rather than just talking about footy, rather than just coaching footy. But it wasn't specifically Wayne Bennett who had lit the fire this week. It was, in fact, Jason Demetriou talking about the record and finals of South Sydney under Anthony Seibold. This is what he had to say.
Listen, man, I coach because I love coaching. I don't want to be arguing back and forth and that sort of stuff every single week. Now, I had a crack back at the assistant coach from South yesterday, but I thought I had a fair right to, you know. So I thought it was disrespectful to me and what I've tried to do. But, man, I'm over it, mate, okay? I love my time at South Sydney. I can cop criticism of people, but you've got to have the runs on the board to be able to do that. And if one of my assistant coaches spoke out like that publicly in the media, then he wouldn't be one of my coaches anymore, so...
Yeah, the rich irony, and I can see of him not wanting to be in the media with those sorts of things and then saying that he would have Jason Demetriou sacked if it had done it his job means it will be ongoing.
Yeah, look, I think for Siebes now, I think he needs to understand when you're coach for the Broncos and you've got that sort of audience and, mate, whatever you say, whatever you do, people are going to hang on. So he's just got to bite his tongue. He's smart enough to know what's going to make news.
Yeah.
So even when he says something, I think, mate, as he said, he just didn't want to sit there and cop Jason Demetriou what he said. But sometimes you got to look at the bigger picture. Do you just wear that and just win the game? I reckon the bigger thing for him is just win the game. Like last night would have been a better feeling winning the game. I know they did everything possible, and I respect the way the Broncos played. They nearly got there. But for him, the more that he says, the more everyone's going to pick up on it.
There's probably a reason and why Wayne Bennett never spoke at a press conference for like 25 years when he was at the Broncos, because he knows everything up there is news.
I mean,
they're their own community. Obviously, they've got their own newspapers up there. And so I think more so than understanding you're going to be in the news, you need to manage what you're in the news for.
Yep.
And I think you can really use that to your advantage. And I actually think it was really good for the game this week. And maybe they need to, you know, do it in a way where, and I'd like to see a little bit more of it, where coaches and senior players come out and say exactly what they think about the opposition, and rivalries are healthy in our game. And no one needs to get personal, but I just thought that it made for great reading through the week. And look at the response we got. There was 30,000 people there crashing
a game of footy.
And, you know, we're still 3 weeks out from the finals.
Yeah. Every now and then, if there was a big game on and there was some things said And, you know, Wayne knows if you put a bloke like me in front of them, I'm just going to say anything and be pumped up. He'd look at me and just go, just do your talking on the field this week. So he'd sort of give you a little hint that right. maybe you just probably not today for you and someone else speak. Yeah,
but so. That he's so smart. Yeah. He played the game so well this week, Wayne Bennett. I think he won that battle off the field in the first time they played each other earlier this season and again this week. He just knew what to say exactly when to say it at his press conference this week. When he was asked about Seabold and Demetrio, he said, I don't know, go and ask Demetrio. So he didn't want to buy into that, but he had a little nibble at having a barbecue at Paul White's house and stuff like that. He knew exactly what to say and when to say it. And he just walked away thinking, I'm just playing the game. And that's the difference. He didn't get frustrated by all of it, but you could clearly see Seabold that was just eating away at him. So it just goes to show the experience of Wayne. He knows how to deal with all of that sort of stuff. It's a bit of a game in a sense.
It is 100% of Cedar. What about when, like, the post-match, I don't know if you saw it, and he walked in and the boys are high-fiving. He loved it. He loved it, but the boys love him. Who was it? Cody Walker. Cody Walker sort of grabs him and hugs him and that. I see that to Wayne all the time. He loves that sort of stuff, you know. And just even seeing Sam Burgess and that around, it means so much to him because they're down the barrel of losing four games in a row. But, you know, that's the Wayne Bennett that not everyone gets to see in the dressing room. And then for the Bunnies to open up the door and say the camera's coming here and listen to the team song.
We spoke about Damien Cook early on about what he did, you know, from with his running game, setting up, I think, the three tries and then that tackle on Oates, which was phenomenal. But there was other parts of his game last night and I thought he needed to be really good at because, you know, they were down on troops. They didn't have the Burgess boys there, obviously, and they were taking on a big, powerful pack that was in form. And I just thought the way that he brought the forwards onto the football, namely Liam Knight last night, it was the best game I've seen him play in first grade. He really stood up to that pack. But the subtleties around Damien Cook's game developing there from dummy half, I think is one of the big improvements and one of the things that will really take his game to another level is getting the best out of his forwards. And also, especially when they're coming off their line, and Cameron Smith does that better than anyone in the game. He's got this ability just to create space and opportunity and get his big forwards between players so they generate quick play of the balls, and that's something that I reckon Damien Cook's getting better and better at on a weekly basis.
From what you saw last night, is there enough there to believe that South Sydney can? We all thought in the beginning part of the season that they were certainly well in the mix. As we said, they've lost a few in a trot. Get that win up, enough there?
I just think it just depends on what they believe at this point. I mean, they've certainly got the talent. They're gonna need all their players back. They especially need Sam back there. Yep. But if they believe that they can do it, they've certainly got the roster capable.
I reckon they can time it perfectly. Last year we knew they were humming just perfectly until the Roosters stopped them in the prelim. But I just reckon this year you get those boys back on deck and they just haven't got a plan A, they've got a plan B, especially Liam Knight. He's better than I thought he was going to be this year. But also young Britt. Britt's come a long way, mate. He's playing some good football in Sirenan.
How far, and you might know this, Sam, how far away is Alex Johnson?
Oh, yes.
Wayne said during the week, probably one more week, possibly two, but hopefully just another week. He said Sam should be back next week as well.
See, Dewey's doing a good job, but, you know, Alex Johnson, mate, you can't coach what he's got, mate.
Yeah, so that was the scoreline. Great game of footy. The Rabbitohs 22, the Broncos 20. Saturday Triple M NRL. Plenty to get to in the next 2.5 hours we have to share with you along the way. The NRL's Team of the Decade, we'll get to there, see what Ryan Girdler's Team of the Decade looks like and Wendell Saylor's. I'm not sure that too many of the current Panthers players will be in there. After last night's defeat, 24-20 on that Tyre Power scoreboard, beaten by the Cowboys. In a game of footy that for the Panthers meant so much, did they give enough? Ryan Girdler, I'm going to you first.
It was a good win by the Cowboys, wasn't it, Tony? Look, it was disappointing. I mean, it was. I thought it was their last throw of the dice last night, and there was a few players came out in the media and said this is our grand final. So I kind of expected, you know, on the back of that, for them to go up there and put in an energetic, enthusiastic performance that was worthy of, you know, the game that, you know, was presented to them, but they didn't. They were disappointing. I mean, the Cowboys defended well in patches, but for mine, you know, there's sides, Tony, that are building towards a premiership. There's sides that are kind of hoping to scratch into the eight, and there's sides that probably understand the roster's not good enough to do much in the eight and are ready to finish up. And unfortunately, last night, that was the sort of performance I saw from Penrith. They're ready to finish up. They've had enough.
So you're saying they weren't giving it their all, the senior players? Because they think Well, what's the point? You're not going to make the grand final.
Oh, I just think that they've sort of they had that good run in the middle of the season, and they went up there last night and they were really flat, and unfortunately, with their season on the line, they didn't put in a performance worthy of the occasion.
It certainly didn't feel like when they were saying it was a grand final, like everyone was putting in that effort. All of those little effort areas you can see that we just spoke about with South, those try-saving tackles, just all the little things like your kick chase, when you know that everyone's on. You just didn't see that from Penrith.
And really bad.
Discipline too. How many balls did they drop? Yeah. It was back end they dropped
the
so many.
Maloney kicked the ball there twice. He doesn't do that when, he's a senior player there. The senior players are the ones that have to lead. And he didn't lead from the front last night. It just, not that he wasn't worried, but he just knew what there was, on the line. But even I think with the Cowboys, I think there was talk that Paul Green and Michael Morgan had a bit of a disagreement last week after the game.
Yes, I think Brett Reid might have broke that. So we'll speak to Reid in his mail and talk about that a bit later on.
And I think one thing you got to do, especially the Cowboys, because, mate, I know there's a few Cowboy supporters that are questioning whether Paul Green's the man to take them forward. So you've got to show something. And last night, I think Kyle Fell, I thought he was exceptional, scored two tries. But even the tries they scored, they really pushed it. But I think the turning point for them was whenever Tal Mulalo plays, it gives you such confidence because he's like that big kid. It's a bit like Payne Huss. When they play, mate, you just get so much more confident the way they played. Some of the tries they scored last night were great, but I reckon it was the Cowboys' defence that sort of got them home. But Penrith didn't help themselves. It just seemed like they knew that they could score tries whenever they held onto the ball, but they couldn't hold onto the ball.
And I think it would have made a massive difference to being at home for the Cowboys in a week where everything that happened with Matt Scott as
100%.
And the scare of him having a stroke and being back at home, they're such a tight-knit group and tight-knit community. So I think that there would have been a lot of emotion and passion around that as well and trying to, Matt Scott, we'd imagine, won't be coming back before the end of the season, but trying to at least finish on a high and have that morale and I guess the feeling of a winning group to send him out, even though he's not physically on the field, but to send him out with a couple of wins before
it was an incredible. They've got 9 regular first graders on the sidelines at the moment, the Cowboys, and everyone has their sort of injury issues through the year. And they had Jake Clifford pull out, so they had Asiata filling in at the halves. So, I personally didn't give them too much of a chance last night, but defensively they were really solid. And as you said, there was a little bit of emotion attached to it, but all in all, pretty disappointing from the Panthers.
And you can tell that Coach Ivan Cleary, he was clearly disappointed with he didn't talk about effort. He talked about having no momentum. That's obviously through errors, which kill momentum immediately. The trouble with being in the position that the Panthers are is that they've been a story all year, haven't they, about whether they're going to succeed. The whole thing with the Cleary, the father, the son. So when it was going poorly, everybody was jumping on it. Then they had a bit of a stretch where they looked okay. But as soon as they lose a couple, again, you can see in Ivan Cleary's eyes, it's being part of the story rather than the footy team being part of the story. It's difficult for them to get over that, isn't it?
It's just hard to work out where they are, Tony, at the moment, because, there was a lot of good tipsters this year said that they'd, been in the grand final, potentially they could win the competition.
Them and the Broncos, they were the two favourites.
And now we see, with some changes being made to the roster, certainly in some of those key positions, it looks like, and I think Ivan said at the end of last night's game, they've got a young side, and they do. They clearly do have a young side, and they're now going through a building phase where they're probably a couple of years away again from putting themselves in a position to be, occasionally tipped to win the premiership. So it's just a bit of patience there required from the Panthers fan. And then the question is, have we got the right people in the right positions out there? And that's one thing that we'll now see over the next couple of years. But, their attack again, I don't think there was one game against the Dragons this year where they looked like they had their attack in order. They looked really sharp with the football. Other than that, and I think Nathan Cleary's had a really good year. I think, he's at the fore, his effort on a weekly basis, it can't be denied. He puts his best out there, and I think he's developed as a player. But just as a team, their attack, I don't understand it. It's hard to work out what they're trying to do.
Is it obvious what they're doing?
Well, they
opponents.
They seem to try and play with a little bit of width.
Yeah,
and they try and play sort of pass the football out and find the pass out of their back end, which is fine. But they seem to leave themselves in really weird positions on the field. And that gets them up the field really well because, they're attacking the edges and they're getting their big men on some little men. They get some quick play the balls. But then when they get in the attacking zone, it looks like they just don't know what to do from there. And their conversion rates, I think, is worse than any other team in the competition.
After that game against the Bulldogs that they lost, Kenty had a massive crack at them in their attack, and that also led to Ivan going on 360.
Quite a long list of people who have been under that hammer.
Ivan ended up going on 360 and admitting that their attack has been shocking. You know, disagreed with some of the other things that Kenty had written, but admitted, yeah, they're struggling at the moment and at times don't know what they're doing or what their plan is. So I don't know what the answer
work to
is.
Do. To, yeah, they've got some work yeah. to do. I mean, they'll have a long off-season to prepare.
And the off-season for Nathan Brown, it begins obviously at the end of the season, but won't be lining up for as the coach of the Newcastle Knights next year. We'll get to that next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Triple M NRL, as Triple M rocks the footy. Wendell Saylor, I've just had a little look around, as I do during the show, just to make sure we're completely up to date with what's going on.
Yeah.
The Daily Telegraph is now reporting that your boy Tristan is not only in the 17, as you told us at the top of the show, thank you for that exclusive. He's actually playing fullback.
And oh, is he?
Yeah. Oh, is he, you ask? And that Ben Hunt is a man is out, so Corey Norman moves into the halves. And your boy is at the back. Do you know anything about this?
Where was that? Where is that information from?
I believe Dave Riccio tweeted it from the Daily Telegraph. And Dave's pretty on the money.
Yeah, that's pretty, I think Ben Hunt is out. So, yeah, I think, yeah. Well, I think, I think that could be right. So Tristan plays in the halves or plays fullback. So if I was a betting man, he's been playing fullback lately. So, yeah.
look on his face.
Oh, it's,
No, that's good. So you didn't tell us at the top what was going on because you were just trying to go along the Dragons line or protect him. Yeah, okay, fair enough. But so you knew this all. How long ago did Tristan know?
He's known for a couple of days. Oh, yeah.
How has he been?
You've been putting some bombs up to him in the backyard?
Mate, I don't need to, mate.
You're a reverse torpedo?
He's very good. He's across what he has to do. But, you know, it's a different feeling when it's your kids. Yeah. And, like, you know, I've watched him play 20s and reserve grade and play, you know, rep football, schoolboys and all that. But there's a different nervousness because, you know, this is the big stage. I'm nervous for him, but he's fine. Like, he's just going about – and I said to you before, him, you wouldn't believe what he did last night. He went to book club with his mum. So he's in a book club. That's –
Wow.
Yeah.
I was going to say he went to book club with his father would have been more surprising.
No.
You had to work.
No.
What was the book, do you know?
No, but him and his mum, they do their own thing and they love their art and that he's very different to his dad. But, I can't wait to see him play tonight. I'm so nervous. Like, I just sort of want it to be like night and sit in the grandstand and watch and just be a dad, you know?
How many people are going? How many friends and family?
I think he got about 35 to 40 tickets. So a lot of his best friends from, Wollongong, the in-laws have flown in from North Queensland up there. They're Cowboy supporters, but, they've flown in from Burdekin, Townsville.
And he's playing the Roosters.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big call, obviously, at Cogra. But he had a connection, didn't he, Eastern Suburbs?
Yeah, he started. So when I came down to play for the Waratahs, didn't play the full season there, obviously, he started his football there at Clove Valley Crocs. So him, Victor Radley, and Lachlan Lamb. And he's playing against Victor today too, so I'll give Tristan a tip. If you're running the ball back, use a bit of footwork on Victor Radley.
Are they still good mates?
Yeah, Victor they are. Mate, you know what? And I've got to say this. Victor Radley and Lachlan, mate, they're all nice kids. Like, there's those guys and Adam Dewey. They all played against each other. They're all the same age group. So they've all stayed in contact, and it's funny that social media stuff. So, it's big.
It's very exciting, Wendell. Yeah. I'm very happy for you, Tristan. We're making his debut for the Dragons, running out in the fullback spot. Ben Hunt is out of the lineup for the Dragons.
I'm going to have to change my tip now.
Really?
To bounce off the Roosters.
What about your super coach? You got...
I don't do the super coach. Okay, no.
All right, what about Nathan Brown? I thought the way that this is handled and the way certainly he has responded to the fact that he won't be at the Knights next year, he's done it with class, Nathan Brown, I reckon. And he's one of those guys, look, he's gone through tough times at Newcastle. They were struggling big time when he arrived. I think he's done a great job to get them where he has. So the question is whether he had then the ability to go that next step further.
Look, I think for me, Brownie invests so much in not just the players, but I think the culture. And I've been with him at the Dragons. I know when he got me there, it was a big call for him to back me to go there, with Peter Doust. But I just know what he's like. He's a man's man. The Jesse Ramian thing, that would have hurt him a little bit too. He wouldn't have wanted to move Jesse Ramian on if you're not happy, but... You know, you've got to draw a line in the sand at some stage. And even with himself, he would have heard things in and around that they're looking and talking. So, you know, Brownie, I think Brownie's done a really good job there. People said, oh, the results aren't there and that. But, like, I think a big thing that I heard Brandon talk about was the culture that was at the Knights.
Yep.
And we've seen it like the last couple of years. It hasn't been about so much their football. And Newcastle, the supporters and Novocastrians, they haven't been proud of their football team the last couple of years. And this year, somewhat, you know, you could see the confidence and the enjoyment building. I'm proud of Brandy for walking away. I don't think he's failed there at the Knights. But I just think that's typical Nathan Brand for you. He just thinks someone else can come in and do the job, but he certainly laid the foundations.
I was really proud of, not that I know him, but I thought good on you for standing up for yourself. And, I mean, he heard that they were having interviews with other coaches and putting the feelers out there. And just like he did with the Jesse Ramian situation, he's someone who, you know, confronts something like that head on. And he said, well, if you're getting your dad to shop you around, I don't like that. Don't go behind my back. You come and have a conversation. And that, this is the same thing. They were going behind his back rather than coming and having a conversation. So it says a lot about his morals and the type of man that he is. So I think good on him. I would have liked to see him stay there another year because he's put so much work into rebuilding the club and that you're finally starting to see results. And I know everyone's saying, oh, they probably won't make the finals, but really it's so tight from more, like 6th to 12th. It's a matter of one or two wins.
Yeah, right.
I don't think it's this season is a failure by any sense.
Like, Why were they speaking to other coaches up there? Yeah. Do you know? Do you know what the issue was with the way Nathan Brown was going
about
his business?
Some suggestions that he wasn't getting along with the recruitment manager there who's quite in with their CEO, so a bit of politics going on. Mm. Then some other suggestions, perhaps one or two of the players weren't entirely happy with him. So I don't know the exact story. There's been a couple of rumours floating around, but just given everything he's done there and rebuild them, I just think it's sad to see him not get at least one more year to try and see where he can take them.
So if you if
he hasn't done his brand any damage. No, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
But so if you have this coach who has done the rebuilding phase and decide he's not the man to take us to the, you know, the required ending, do you then turn to an assistant coach from somewhere else?
No.
Because that's what seems to be happening with Adam O'Brien, Roosters' assistant coach, to come through. Is he the guy then the players are going to go, yep, now we can go the next step?
That's a good question.
I mean, you got to look at your options, don't you?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what I find, you know, a little bit concerning about, you know, what's happening with the administration there at Newcastle. I mean, you've got Nathan Brown, a bird in the hand, they say, Tony. And if you look around, you know, bringing in, as you said, like a guy that hasn't got that experience. For my Newcastle, I mean, if Nathan Brown's gone there and felt like he had to work on the culture for 3 or 4 years, it looks like a sort of environment where that needs to be maintained. And he looks like he's a fairly disciplined coach and expects a fair bit from the group. So I would be bringing in someone else that is actually going to sort of take over and continue the work that he's been able to do in those couple of years. Because if you get someone in there now that's young and inexperienced, and look, I don't know anything about the assistant coach from the Roosters, O'Brien. He might be fantastic at that. But I'm thinking a club like that in a position like they are at the moment, they need someone of a senior coach nature to come in there and understand how to get this side into the finals. Because I think they're just going to probably miss out this year. So the next step is obviously with the roster they have and with some key players off contract over the next couple of years with Kalen, and we know what that's going to be a circus when he comes off. And they're talking, I think they're talking that he might, you know, speak to some other clubs. So you're going to need a coach that can come in and handle all that as well as get a performance out of this young group with high expectations. I'd be going for someone with some experience personally. But who's out there?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? And they thought that. I guess they thought they were going to go for that. We're getting the premiership. We've got Wayne Bennett. And those years didn't go exactly as
well. They got to the prelim, didn't they?
Yeah, I know.
And then obviously it didn't go to the script, I suppose.
But who is out there?
Shane Flanagan for mine would be the perfect guy.
Yeah.
But obviously the NRL have railroaded that.
Yeah, at least another year.
Yeah, we spoke about that Thursday. And I reckon it'd be perfect. If Flano was allowed to come in, you know, yeah, that's a perfect setup for him.
All right, next, the judiciary. Who faces what and are the decisions right on Saturday? Triple M NRL. The Pretenders as Triple M rocks a footy on a Saturday afternoon. Wendell Saylor, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdler. My name is Tony Squires. It's lovely to have your company and it's lovely to play a bit of this.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I love Tony Sessions. I love 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Three, five.
Aim of the game. Answer three questions. Give me three answers within the 5 seconds that have been allotted to you. The questions usually are very, very easy. The answer's only hard to come by because of the pressure of the time constraints. That's how it's supposed to work. Mm. I'm tipping you're going to get zero.
Okay.
Oh, well. That's
all good. I reckon. I know your competitive nature. Yeah. You're seething, aren't you?
No.
I'm fine
with losing.
No, you're not.
All right, there's
I won't be stoked, but that's okay.
You won't
it's not
be
the end of the world.
Stoked. I love it. All right, well, look, there is a couple of things. I've got a couple of themes here, and we're going to get to the discussion
can
in a little
pick?
While.
Can we pick what theme we want?
No, you're getting those nuts out of your teeth.
Oh, they're all in.
Well, she is. She's picking nuts out of her teeth.
Yeah.
What sort of nuts are they?
The grand final. Oh, what are they?
They're a walnut, are they?
There was a mixture. I had some Brazil nuts, walnuts, and almonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think you're on air is the best time to be eating?
I had them in the ad break, to clarify, but I had a bit of some of the skin of the almonds stuck in between my teeth.
Yeah. Okay.
But no one would have noticed if Gerds hadn't pointed it out. I thought we were a team and we don't throw each other under the bus, but, that's okay.
That's true, Ryan.
I'll put that in the memory bank.
What you
things,
said.
Things have changed.
Yeah, I think she threw you under the bus. Remember a couple of weeks ago when you were sort of... Anyway, sorry, back to you, Tone.
All right, here's the first piece of information you need to know. We're going to discuss this more fully in just a moment in the NRL stock market, is that the grand final entertainment has been announced. The band is One Republic. Ooh. Emma Lawrence. Can you name three One Republic songs?
No. It's too late to apologize. That's the only one.
That's apologize. That's apologize.
That's good. And look, I'm going to give you 1.5 points because you sang it.
Yes.
Yeah.
You sang it as well, which is brilliant.
And you sung it terribly, too. Yeah.
Counting Stars, Connection, Come Home, Finger, Good Life. There's 1,000 of them, in fact. They've been around for a long time, One Republic. But we'll get to that in a little bit later on. Mm. All right. Given that we are on Grand Final Entertainment, Ryan Girdley, your question, simple one. Yeah. Three performers who have done the NRL Grand Final.
That's easy.
Cole Chisel.
Correct.
Last year it was, I don't know.
Macklemore
was the
year who was last year?
Gang of Youths.
Yeah.
Gang of Youths.
And Maroon 5.
That's right. We could have gone.
Did I sing Cold Chisel? Do I get?
If you do it now,
but it has to be in the 5 seconds.
Yeah. Oh,
I see. Not competitive. Doesn't care if she loses. All right. It's 1.5. Do you want to sing just for the hell of it?
Yeah.
No. All right. 1.5 points to beat Wendell Saylor. Sure. And I'm moving away from Grand Final Entertainment just because it is the story of the day that Tristan Saylor will make his NRL debut for the Dragons at Cogra against the Roosters. Proud day for you, Wendell Saylor, and for us as just being attached to you, have it vicariously. So I want you to name three, don't put the tick, 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 tick just yet. Three sailors, not that from your family, but three seamen. Tick, tick, tick.
Jessica.
Good boy.
Yeah.
She sailed at Popeye, would have been. Jessica or Captain
Blackbeard.
Blackbeard, I would have gone John Bertrand. I would have gone Dennis Connor.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thousand of them.
That's great, yeah. That's
you got awesome. One
Captain Jack.
Emma Lawrence, bizarrely, you win with 1.5 points.
That's high achievers.
That's great. The Bulldogs. Jessica Watson, there we go.
Beautiful. Yeah. Bulldog star Adam Elliott will join us next. We'll do the NRL stock market. Reedy's Mail is coming up as well, of course. Sturlo at 2:30. All ahead. Saturday, Triple M, NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.